Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We're delighted to have you on board with us today. We always look forward to this broadcast that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion. We look forward to your input. So let me invite you to call today. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. After our elongated monologue this morning, we're going to be introducing our guest today. Our guest is representative from District 1 in Pensacola, the House of Representatives in the state of Florida, Mike Hill. Congressman Hill will be with us for the duration of our broadcast today. We'll be talking about some of these vital issues and how we need to look at them and what we need to do and what our response ought to be in relationship to them. The broadcast today we're going to be talking about, will America remain America? Will America remain America? In a moment, we're going to get to that subject. We're going to talk about it and look at the things that are taking place. And we can't, of course, look at all of the things that's happening. I'm going to boil it down to a little narrative as to what we're seeing through the prism of the Scripture and what the Scripture says in relationship to what we ought to do. The Scripture is very, very clear in relationship to Proverbs 14, verse 34. It says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And that's what we ought to see and realize. And the Scripture also says in Psalms chapter 11, verse 3, if our foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? So therefore, as Christians, we ought to be vitally concerned. As conservatives, we ought to be concerned. As patriotic Americans, we need to be concerned about the question, will America remain America? So as we look at that question, we're going to be talking about it based on the Word of God. Jesus himself said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't learn anything else from this broadcast today, recognize that we need to understand what is truth. We need to be able to decipher between truth and error, that which is false, phony, fake, false, as it is called, and what is real. And today we're looking at that which is generally speaking, what you hear on the Communist Network News and MSNBC and the other news broadcasts. They're simply an arm of the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party, and they no longer are journalists where they're bringing truth and allowing we the people to understand what's happening. They want to filter it through their prism and tell us what's happening rather than letting us see. So it's a difference in what is real truth. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus declared, thy word is truth. And so it's the truth of the Word of God that we need to stand on, and not some denominational dogma, some philosophical rhetoric or ideological bent of a political agenda, but what is truth. In fact, it was George Orwell many years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And if you want to find that to be factual, go out into society and stand on the truth of the Word of God. Stand on the truth of some of these issues of what's happening today. Jerry Nadler says that he thinks that when you talk about any riots taking place in the Portland, Oregon area or in Seattle, Washington, etc., when Jerry Nadler was asked about that and what is taking place with the riots, he said, oh, that's just a myth. It's a myth, he said. When he's talking about burning Bibles and flags, it's a myth. And yet there are some things that are taking place as reality. But reality no longer is the focus of what we find on the Socialist, Marxist, Communist news networks in America. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And may I commend that to our listeners, each and every one of us today. that we seek the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and most of all, ladies and gentlemen, that we inculcate truth in our hearts and our lives, and we defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own lawn care or landscape business. Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power equipment, power backup equipment, and lawn care and landscape equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, right where Old Glory, the gigantic U.S. flag, flows. That flagpole stands about 165 feet there. The base of that flagpole, the base of that flag, Old Glory flying, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. Most Americans today are living in a constant, and I think I'm speaking for the general populace. Most Americans today are living in a constant state of uncertainty, of hysteria, of fear, of not knowing each day what the next day is going to bring. In fact, Vice President Pence said this, and he put it this way, and I commend him for this statement. Vice President Pence said just this week down in South Florida, he said, we stand at a crossroads of freedom. In that article, he says, the choice we face is whether America remains America. Vice President Pence portrayed a stark contrast facing America during a visit Wednesday in Florida. We stand at a crossroads of freedom, he said. Before us lie two paths, one based on the dignity and worth of every individual, and the other on the growing control by the state. One road leads to greater freedom and opportunity, and the other road leads to the socialism and decline of a nation. He added, the choice we face is whether America remains America. Further in the three-page article, just one other paragraph briefly, and I state, Vice President Pence said, President Trump and I know that men and women who put on the uniform of law enforcement every day are the best people in the country, Pence said to the applause of the people. With this president and this administration, we will always back the blue. We will always stand with the men and women on the thin blue line of law enforcement. We're not going to defund the police. Not now, not ever, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty dogmatic statement coming from the vice president. I'm so appreciative of his stand and his willingness to verbalize it. But let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. America has about 90 days. Listen carefully. We have about 90 days to decide just what kind of America we want. The choice is simple. Listen, the choice of what kind of America we want is very simple. Do we want a socialist, Marxist, BLM, democratic dictatorship, or do we want a constitutional republic wherein we have a Bill of Rights that provide for us liberties and freedoms that we've been blessed by God to have for 244 years. So what kind of America do you want? What kind of America are you looking to have after November the 3rd, 2020, when we have the national vote on whether or not President Donald J. Trump remains in office? Today, we can witness a state of what I call a stage rehearsal. Of America's future if we do not reelect President Trump. Let me just briefly, before we introduce our guest, let me just briefly give you insight so that you'll have a better handle on what we're talking about on today's broadcast. We're looking at the future. We're looking at a stage rehearsal. That stage rehearsal is being carried out by the thugs, the BLM socialist Marxist ones that are in the streets, that are the anarchists that are wanting to overthrow America, a nation of no law enforcement. That's what, listen, we're talking about if we do not elect President Trump for the next 4 years. We're looking at a nation with no law enforcement, with thugs in the street. Lawlessness will literally pervade our streets. And I find it interesting, let me give you a little tidbit of insight on that. Police in major U.S. city warns the public, prepare to be robbed, obey the criminals. Amid a crime wave, after the death of George Floyd, the Minneapolis Police Department has informed residents in an email that they should prepare to be robbed. and to simply obey the criminals. Quote, be prepared to give up your cell phone, give up your wallet, give up your purse, and do whatever the criminals say, was the advisory that it's gone out to the citizens in Minneapolis. Further, it says the Minneapolis report that the police department has reported a 46% increase in carjackings, a 36% increase in robberies as compared to the same time last year. And the article goes on to recite, a 99-year-old woman, Evelyn Johnson, was assaulted in her home by an intruder and told to comply with their demands. She resisted, and the suspect eventually shoved her into the bathroom after beating her, stealing her iPad, and $40 that she had. Rush Limbaugh said, he said, let me just give you guys an answer as to what to do. He said, I would advise residents of Minneapolis to simply exercise your rights under the Second Amendment. And he goes on to talk about how that ought to be understood. In fact, the police chief there in that city has basically said, we have no law enforcement. It's left up to the citizens to protect yourself. But in doing so, I find it absolutely antithetical to anything that would be called Americanism and the America that I've known for all of these years, to think that you just surrender all that you have and say yes, sir, to any thug, thieves, or criminals that wants to take your goods, take your property, or take your life. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a brief article. I'll read the headlines. Black Lives Matter founder, DNC platform, listen, Black Lives founder says the DNC platform must call for the defunding of police and abolishing ICE. And it's an elongated article, but I'll just touch on it by talking about the headline that the Black Lives Matter, anarchist, Marxist, are now demanding that the DNC platform include in their platform nationally that they're going to defund police and abolish ICE. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be looking at, if Joe Biden is elected president, we'll be looking at a nation of lawlessness and thuggery on the streets where you have the citizens must defend themselves based on our Second Amendment right. But there's another tentacle to that. If Joe Biden goes in office, we will not be able to defend ourselves through our Second Amendment right because guns will be confiscated. He's already said so. He's already guaranteed that that would take place through his gun czar, which will be Beto O'Rourke. And in doing so, Beto has already said that he would absolutely confiscate weapons and that we would be left without any protection in our nation. The BLM protesters stormed the Seattle police chief's neighborhood. I don't know if you've read that article. You're familiar with it. Seattle police chief Carmen Best has been the rare voice of reason in the city that seems to believe maintaining the rule of law is a privileged concept. She has just had her neighborhood invaded. The Black Lives Matter descended, the article says, upon her neighborhood Saturday afternoon, her home in north of Seattle. And they weren't just demanding Best resign or anything like that. They were simply there to intimidate. Says, as the road of a small, quiet, and quaint neighborhood community, demonstrators decided it was time to try to intimidate Best and her residents. They were shouting profanities. They were asking neighbors questions. They were taking pictures of tags. They were asking the neighborhood where their kids were going to school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is absolutely antithetical to anything that would be called America as we know it today. The question is, will America remain America if Joe Biden goes into office? What kind of America can we expect, ladies and gentlemen? When you find in Portland, Oregon now, they burn Bibles in the streets as they burn the American flags and the shuttered buildings that they are ripping the shutters off so that they can get in and destroy. This article is very, very clear. Radicals, activists in Portland, Oregon, burn Bibles and the American flag in front of the federal courthouse this weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our representatives, Representative Clyburn in the U.S. House of Representatives, when asked about that, he stuttered a while and then he said, well, you know, if it's a Christian Bible or if it's a Quran or if it's, and he starts elaborating that, he says, after all, the book is not about, not important about our worship. We can worship without a book. And so what does that matter? And I'm paraphrasing his unusual statement of rambling in relationship to not caring about what's taking place. And he didn't even claim, he didn't even know that Bibles were being burned and flags were being burned. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, the Chicago mayor mounts a police raid on churches. We're talking about an America if Joe Biden goes into office and we do not reelect President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, under the Joe Biden presidency, America will go into a Great Depression, a total lawlessness in the street, high inflation, China will rule our economy, and Biden's handlers, i.e. Pelosi and AOC and Ilhan Omar, will rule America. We'll have no constitution, and America will never be brought back to being the same nation as we have known it for 244 years. It is unusual. It sounds horrible and negative, but it is an absolute fact. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're going to talk with today, and I'm delighted once again to have my friend and one that I am thankful for that is in the State House, as I call it. He is from District 1 and coming out of Pensacola. But ladies and gentlemen, any of our congressmen, when elected, they're elected for a district, but they do business for it, watching over and doing what is right for our entire state. And I'm thankful to have today, ladies and gentlemen, with us one that has been on the air with us before. It is Representative Congressman Mike Hill, District 1, coming out of Pensacola. Congressman, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. It's always my joy and a pure delight to have you on board with us.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. And I so enjoyed your monologue. I was listening to it, and every point you made was accurate and right on target. And I believe and agree with everything that you said.
Well, Congressman, I am thankful to have you, and your insight and your wisdom is always personally, and I pray that it is for our audience, appreciated with your insight and words of wisdom for us. As we both see through the same prism, I believe, and that is the prism of biblical doctrine and Christianity. And ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Hill may not want to say these things about himself, but I can say them for him, for your edification. Congressman Hill is a conservative Republican. He is a Christian first. He is an attorney. He owns and operates his business there in Pensacola. He loves the Lord. He puts Jesus first and is in a race now in the primary, that the final day for the primary is August the 18th. And so I can say this at the precursor for our talk today and our dialogue and discussion. I urge you to look him up. We'll talk about his website later in the broadcast. Look him up. Go to that donate button and press the button and give whatever's the best you can in these last days for this election. We must have him reelected. I am personally praying and asking God to give him victory. I'm personally praying, asking God to continue to use him. And you'll find during the course of this dialogue and discussion today why that is so imperative for us. And I realize, and perhaps you're saying, well, I'm in North Florida. He's over in West Florida. He's not in my district. Let me remind us again. In his district, District 1, covering the Pensacola area, but yet in office, he represents all of us in the state of Florida. And so any contribution, and I urge you to do that. I don't mind being, how would you say, forthright. He needs the funds. We need to put him back in office. And so I urge you to push that donate button and contribute whatever is the maximum God will allow you to do so that will honor God and honor our representative there coming out of District 1 in the state of Florida. So, Congressman, again, thank you for being with us. I'm looking forward to what God is going to say during the course of this broadcast today. What are your thoughts, Congressman? Just out of the chute, one of the things that's dear to my heart and that I'm so angst about, if I can use that term liberally, is that of the forced mask wearing that's required for much of our cities across the state of Florida. Though the governor has not imposed that upon us, we're finding mayors in city after city that's imposing that. Is there a problem constitutionally, legally, with that factor?
Yes, there is, Dr. Youngblood. There is no constitutional authority for any government entity, either at the federal, state, county, or city level. There is no constitutional authority to mandate what a person is supposed to put on their body. The mask is unconstitutional and it is illegal. In fact, I know that there is a young state representative, Anthony Sabatini, who is currently in the process of suing several entities. Now, I think if someone wants to wear a mask, that's their prerogative. Wear your mask if you want to. But there is no authority that government has to force someone to wear a mask. I mean, think about this, Dr. Youngblood. This is government telling you what to put on your body. That's like they're trying to tell you what kind of clothes you wear. Or, as we have seen in the past, what socialist fascists will do, put a star on your clothes to mark who you are. And, oh, by the way, this is all just for your safety. When we put that star on you, we'll be able to just keep you safe because we know who you are. Well, we know where it all leads to. It leads to control. It leads to domination. It leads to being subservient to the government. And there is no place for that in this nation, not in a free America.
With that thought in mind, and I'm in full agreement with that, and that's what I've been saying for 5 months on this radio broadcast when we deal with issues, and you're finding that on a broad basis, a wide-scale basis across America. In fact, there are some counties and communities in the state of California where there are mega major fines if you do not wear a mask. In fact, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, McDonald's as a enterprise, a business, on a national level, they have instituted the requirement to wear a mask to go in McDonald's. In fact, according to the articles that I've read and the research on it, McDonald's has already put their employees through training. How deep a training, only God knows. But according to the material that I've read, they've trained their employees that if a customer walks in without a mask, that the employee should know how to handle that, to insist that they put a mask on or leave the business. And if they do not, for that employee to call law enforcement to have them ejected from the business for not obeying the rule of McDonald's and a forced wearing of a mask. What do we do with that?
Well, first of all, I'll say this, Dr. Youngblood. If a privately owned business wants to ask or require someone to wear a mask, I think they can do that. But me as a citizen, I can then decide, well, then I'm not going to give my money to you, to your establishment. I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't have to eat at McDonald's. There are plenty of other choices to go to. Now, having said that, I don't believe then that that private business has the right to get the government involved to forcibly eject you from that establishment, because now the government is being complicit in that private mandate. Now, if they want to say you're trespassing and they don't want you in there, fine. And I think what will happen is that is going to hurt their business. And I believe they're going to change their tune. Now, I know Walmart and Publix and several other large shopping places also say that they want you to wear a mask when you go in. However, they are also saying if you don't, they are not going to force you to leave, that they're just going to accommodate you as quickly and as best as they can. And I will admit this on the program right now, Dr. Youngblood. I don't wear a mask. And I go to Walmart, and I go to Publix, and I go wherever I want, and I don't wear a mask. Oftentimes, restaurants want you to put on a mask to walk the 10 feet from where you enter to go to your table. And I just simply say, thank you very much. And I just walk to my table and sit down. Dr. Youngblood, we need
brother,
to have.
Brother, you're a man after my own, you're a man after my own heart. I like that.
we need common sense to come back, Dr. Youngblood.
Absolutely.
What is happening is that they are exercising fear as a weapon. And the Bible tells us, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And what's important to recognize about that, Dr. Youngblood, and I know you know this, fear is not a normal human emotion. It
right.
is an evil spirit. And
right.
the good news of recognizing that it is a spirit is that as a child of the living God, you have authority over that spirit of fear and can tell it to leave and not return, and you will walk in love and in truth and in bravery instead of in fear.
Amen. Amen. I believe that's a word from God that every child of God, every Christian needs to understand today. What we find, if I can interject this thought and then you comment on it, what we find is the socialist, Marxist, communist approach is to divide society, bring about fear among the citizens, and with that fear be able to control the hearts and the minds and the lives of the citizens. And we see that staring us in the face today. I say that what we see taking place today is a stage rehearsal of the ultimate goal of the Marxist communists to literally overthrow America and destroy our constitutional republic and take full control. And part of that is to see how far they can control us by the forced mask wearing. Now, I do know, and touching on the statement you made about going into Walmart, recently I'd gone in, walked in the door, and the little lady sitting there at the counter as you walk in or at the table said, sir, you need to wear a mask. I said, I'm a no-masker. I don't wear a mask. I'm just here to shop, and I turned to go into shopping. And during the about 10, 15 minutes I was in the store, on their microphone, on the loudspeaker, they kept warning everybody in the store, you need to have your mask on. We're here to help. We're here to prevent sickness, the illness, et cetera, infinitum. And I'm wondering, are they going to try to search me out in the store and eject me because I'm in here without a mask? And yet we find the general compliance of the public is to be as sheeple and not people, and they're as sheep without a shepherd and marching around simply following what I would call the socialist Marxist governmental orders. And you may know this, and I throw this out for our general listeners today. I've researched the OSHA website, the CDC website, and the NIH website in relationship to masks, and I've got a compilation of information about that. And I'm pretty certain it was OSHA in one of their statements about the three different kinds of masks, the regular cotton mask, the N95 mask, and the other one with the outer space look to it, whatever they call that thing. But anyway, they said even the N95 mask, putting that on is like putting a chain link fence over your face to keep pathogens out. That's a pretty good statement about the worthlessness of a mask in protecting our health. In fact, it's detrimental to the health, I believe you'll agree.
That's right, Dr. Youngblood. And now we have this one gentleman who all of a sudden has burst on a national scene, Dr. Fauci, who has all of a sudden become the lead scientist for the United States and therefore for the world. And he has gone back and forth on wearing masks. First he said, wear them. Then he says, oh, you don't need to wear them. Then he says, oh, you do need to wear them. And the fact is what they are trying to do is control. They're trying to control, and they use fear. And they've gone so far as to say, even if you don't have any symptoms, you need to wear it because you could be asymptomatic and still carrying it. And you can still get people sick and you can still catch it. And it's nonsense, Dr. Youngblood, especially when you consider the number of people who have caught the disease and have recovered. We never hear that number, how many have recovered. We only hear about the number who have been tested. They don't even say the number who have tested positive anymore because that number is so low. And then when you take the number of deaths, I looked into this, Dr. Youngblood. In Florida, we've tested around 500,000 people, and that's a tremendous number. 500,000 people have been tested, and of that 500,000, about 10% have tested positive. So let's say 5,000. Of that 5,000, 7,000 have died, just over 7,000. You divide 7,000 by the total number who have tested positive, and it is 0.14%. It is a minuscule number. And the vast majority of those who did pass away were 65 and older, in fact, 75 and older, and had other comorbidity issues with their bodies. So the likelihood of, number one, catching the disease, it's a very real disease, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes,
it's very real.
That's right.
But the likelihood of catching it is low, and the likelihood of recovering from it is very high, and the likelihood of dying from it is extremely low.
Yes.
So why on earth are we shutting down an economy? Why on earth are we trying to control populations out of fear for a COVID-19 that is much less deadly than the common flu, which we have each year?
Yes. Congressman, hang on there. We're going to take, ladies and gentlemen, a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. We'll be right back. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, District 1, State of Florida Representative today. And I'm prayerful that you'll stay tuned and call others to tune in also. Looking forward to you after the top of the hour news. Being right back. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.